What if the worst thing ever happened to you was actually the instructions for your next life? This, because some people survive hardship, but others learn how to read it. And once you can read it, pain stops being punishment and starts becoming a plan. I'm your host, Edna White, and this is Keeping It Real on Purpose. Today, we're talking with Zylo Marshall about turning adversity into a blueprint, not a memory, not a scar, but a structure you can actually build from. Welcome to the show, Zylo.
Thank you.
So tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell the audience so they can get to know you a little bit.
Well, at 50 years old, I am a public speaker. I want to be able to speak about the issue of discrimination, discrimination against those with disabilities and challenges we face just because of our disability. We have to be accepted, knowing that our disability should not be a stereotype, thinking we're different because of our disability.
Right.
And that's got to do with employment and legal issues. If you got legal issues unrelated to criminal, then you should get some help in that matter when it comes to money. So that's my focus right now today, is helping politics, the law, and public speaking about the issue on what we got to face to make it easier for the disabled that want to work but can't, because if they do, they lose everything.
Right. And that's so very important in this climate, working and being accepted, being accepted for who you are. So Zylo, let's start here. People hear overcoming adversity all the time, but adversity is vague. What actually happens in your life that forced you to change direction?
Well, I have nobody, okay? And so if I have nobody, it's going to be hard to find the right people in place.
Right.
Because you're going to be rejected, thinking, well, why come to me? I don't know you. And so you go to the next person.
Right.
And hopefully somebody else will listen to your issue. And those that have patience will say, oh, yeah, I see what's going on here. We'll see what we can do. And if it works, then if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. And there's a start. But it's hard because you're getting help to get to where you want to be.
Right. And there are so many people in the world that do not have representation, do not have anyone, like you said, no one. So what do you do in that space of, overcoming adversity? What is adversity? Can you share with our audience what that is from your perspective?
Well, if you lose relatives, I lost my mom when I was 14. Okay, so that pulled me back with a brain injury and a disability. Who do I go to for support? And with that said, I had to figure out who else I can go to that would help me get to that point. Because the most important person in your life, your parents, are not there for you because of issues. And I'm pretty sure there are millions of people out there who lost their parents at a young age. What do they go through? How do they deal with it? And many of them are working. They got to deal with it. But those that are not working, those that are not doing anything, those that are living in a shell, have to figure out how to go out there and make it easier for themselves. And it's not easy to develop something if you don't even know what you're doing. You have no idea what you're doing. You're just trying to think outside the box.
That changes my perception on adversity. It really does. That's heavy. That's really heavy. You don't know what to do. You don't have anybody. That's really heavy. So most people think the moment something happens, it kind of breaks them, right? And I mean, that's what you're basically saying, is like maybe a death of a parent, and now what do I do? But the real moment is when you realize the the life you were living, you can't do that anymore. That's what it sounds like you're saying to us.
Well, yeah, I was. I mean, 14 years old, you know, and then you just lose it all, and it kind of brings you to a standstill,
right?
And that's the challenge that that many people face.
Most people face. Yeah, because they can't go back to where they were, right? They can't go back to that. They have to figure out another way.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So can you break down, you know, like, you know, you said when your mother passed away at 14, you had nobody else. When you start to kind of like branch out and figure out things, what was one of the emotions you were feeling?
Rejection.
Wow.
Being rejected, knowing that at 14, 15, 16, 17 years old, you know, going to somebody who's going to be there a short time, but we'll move on. And they don't know you, and it's hard to develop them or people or the world to understand you as a person, not knowing what, even if you have no disability, you have your personality, which is hard to develop with other people. Unless you have your, you know, a strong foundation of communication and dealing with people.
Right.
You know, and that's a big issue right there.
Yeah. That is one part that people skip. That's one part that they skip, as that internal conflict that you're talking about of rejection. Because all the outside things are happening, but their identity collapsed. That's yes. really deep, and that's good for the audience to know. So what belief about yourself died during that season? What belief about yourself died?
What belief about myself died?
At that time,
trying to understand, what am I going to do next? And how am I going to get to that point? I have seizures. Okay. So because of my seizures, I couldn't just do a lot of things, and people really didn't understand seizures. You know, they're like, well, why is he doing this? And again, that's a 1% of the population in America have seizures.
Right.
That's a, you know, and so people have to, be able to help you, and if they can't, then again, you're out there in the world, stuck in a
That's important.
Situation.
That's important. Yeah. You know, even in the community, if you have a seizure, not many people understand why that's happening. You know, they really don't. You're making a great point, and that's important to audience for you all to know. You know, they're having experiences just like you're saying, I don't know what to do. They're probably saying, oh, no, not again, you know, and you have to start explaining things all over. I'm sure you had a lot of that going on, too. Right.
Yes. Yes. Most definitely. I had my last podcast. I had a seizure in that podcast. Wow. OK. So, you know, it's something that I got to deal with my whole life. And with that said, with the seizures, okay, I can't drive. Okay. So there's another limitation there, because you can't drive, then you can't get to work. So therefore, you either live under the shelter of your family. Okay. Mm-hmm. You live under the government, which pays you to do nothing, which right there, if you're working, if you get a job and you try, the government's not going to help you. They're not here for you. They're here to help you if you can't.
Right. Yeah,
that's and deep. There's the issue of, you know, being stuck at a standstill for months, years, decades, because you don't have a car. You may have some You might be new to a chair. You might be blind. You might be something that might limit your ability to do something. And that's where we're, many of the people are stuck to. I was a realtor in 2005 to 2010. Mm-hmm. And I was selling property without a car. And I did that with the help of other people.
Right, right. Well, it sounds like you're saying that, you know, certainty that we take for granted, those that can drive and go to work, and that certainty you didn't have. So when that goes, you try to rebuild in a way that your life is not the same again. So you start to rebuild, like you just said, you know, you were having these seizures. You sold properties with help, and with the help of somebody else. So a lot of ingenuity had to happen, you know, to rebuild. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Yeah.
What
made you choose to grow instead of just sitting there suffering, you know, or just being there, like you just explained?
Being able to find out what I can do, that we all face, and how to be able to make that stronger for the community to deal with. You know, somebody with a disability who is a speaker, who cares, they got no idea what we go through because they don't have a disability. So to find somebody who has that issue can describe it, because they go through it every single day. It is an everyday thing you got to deal with no matter what you do.
Yeah.
And the world is not going to stop because of the issues you deal with. And so they're good. Therefore, those with disabilities have to work on going out there and making it better for themselves. And I'm not sure how many, but if you want to think about it, millions of people out there are working hard to develop a career. You know, when you see a doctor in a wheelchair, a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If he can do it, then those with disabilities who have ambition, they can do it too. It just takes a little ingenuity, support, and support to make that happen.
Yeah, that's true. So Zyla, you know, this show isn't just about stories. It's about extracting meaning. That's why you're giving us so much information. So let's turn your experience into instruction. Looking back now, what was the lesson hiding inside the seizures that you were having that you couldn't see at the time?
Correct. That don't, just because you have a seizure, just because you have a disability, don't be afraid that people are going to reject you. Okay? No matter what you do out there in society, whoever you are, you could be rejected. But with a disability, the chances are much higher, because, you know, and the issue is people, they're afraid to go out of there because they don't want to be rejected.
Right.
And for me, if someone's going to reject me, I'm probably never going to see that person again. So it's not going to bother me. Okay. I mean, if it comes to your relative or somebody you know every single day, that's one thing. But somebody, let's say you get a job somewhere and they're like, Jesus, I'm going to hire this person. Okay. But you move on to the next person. You don't have to worry about that person. And you got to move on to the next person, knowing that don't be afraid that people are going to reject you just because.
Right. Oof, that's good. That's the shift right there. That's really good. Don't be afraid. Mm-hmm. Now, after your realization, it comes the hardest part, which is living differently, right? What practical changes did you make that proved you weren't the same person anymore?
Well, I went from, when it comes to working, and becoming self-sufficient, I decided, hey, listen, and I did work an hourly wage job. My objective was to jump from living on SSI to working commission-based, working at doing things that would not restrict me, okay? And things that you can do on your own that would not restrict you. So you can't be restricted if you are working commission-based. If you're working for yourself, it takes some time. Are we in the right page for working, or is it more or less about life situations?
No, you can talk about you. Go ahead. Continue. You're doing well. That's fine.
Okay.
Go ahead.
With working, okay, and I have, like I said, I was a realtor. I did work for a short time as a realtor, and trying to get off the SSI, I had to figure out, well, if I can do something in a certain way ongoing, I don't got to worry about SSI because I've developed the foundation of working on a commission-based sale. Whereas today for me, I still want to jump over that 9-to-5 and go from SSI to speaking. So if I can speak at an event, if somebody can speak at an event, if somebody can get data from a large company, and if they get enough data for that company, they can pay commission, then they've been able to build a routine that goes above and beyond $30 an hour, which is a lot of money, but is not enough for people who, because who wants to get up every single day and be at work 9-to-5 every single day? No matter what they do, they got to go. Right. But if you find a way to go around that, comedians go out there, they're funny. Okay. And if you think about it, how many people who have disabilities are funny that want to go out there and become comedians and stand up in front of people and make people laugh? Okay. But they don't realize that if you create that foundation doing that, you don't have to get on SSI. You can go out there and make $20,000 a month on your comedians, on your comedy shows. So my objective is to speak about the issues that we can do to help build a reputation of, for the three that I can think of right now, public speaking, comedian, and real estate, and data collection for a large company. But there's other opportunities out there that doesn't require you to work 18 hours a day for commission-based, okay?
Right.
18-hour days doesn't make any sense, for commission-based. There's that issue. Now, the other issue that we face is helping those with disabilities who want to get legal help in regards to legal issues, okay? Mm-hmm. So there's two issues here. One is employment, an opportunity. And the other one is if you have some issues, people taking advantage of you because of your disability, you have to get help to on legal issues. Mine was probate, and I lost part of $80 million. And it was kind of challenging to be able to go beyond, go over that, but you have to be able to say, just saying, instead of saying me, what can I do to make it easier for everybody to deal with that? And what can we do to develop a system? My website, xylemarshall.com, would be able to be the foundation to help people with disabilities who want to get work that would benefit them. And those that want to get legal help because they were taken advantage of on fraud and corruption and situations like that. So it's two very serious issues in two very different ways. But those are the things that I look at right now as a focus that we deal with, that I want to deal with my website.
Well, gotcha. It sounds like you said that growth isn't emotional, it's behavioral, and you changed your behavior around those things and you help other people do that. So
yes.
And that's important because most people quit after, going through all of that, and they just kind of quit, they give up. But you didn't, and you show other people how to do that. Okay, so here's a question I want to ask you. How does your past now help someone else's future?
Okay. How does my past, knowing that, yes. Don't be scared. Okay. Don't going out there to make it is a scary process because you're not sure where to turn to. I don't want to repeat myself over again, but it's more or less in the same realm of being focused. Okay, it's hard to get focused on something. For me, for my disability, okay, I got a brain injury. It's hard to get focused on something if you don't know which way you're going into. And so my objective is to help people. If you don't have a plan, then you can't make your future better.
Oh, that's good. Okay.
Okay. So it's we need to develop a plan to make that happen. Without that plan, then just getting up and going to work and coming home and getting up and going to work, coming home is really a mediocre life that you can go above and beyond if you want to develop a structure.
Right. Did what did this experience force you to understand about yourself?
Forced me to understand about myself. That I have challenges that people need to help me with. Okay. If I don't get that help, then I'm not gonna be able to succeed at a level I want to. So it's getting the support you need to make the objective happy. Working on, you know, that kind of thing.
Okay, good. Okay. So where in your life right now do you keep recreating that same emotional situation so that you can be stronger and more resilient?
We're looking for, because we're looking for the right people to make sense of it. If I had 10 speakers behind me to discuss different issues to the public, that would be my ideal goal. If I can have speakers to identify the issue, who can speak in front of lean people, what can we do to help it, then they'll be able to address the issue in a better way than I can, and develop a foundation for resilience to help us become more than just I call it a burden of society. You know, those who are disabled that want to go out there and do something, in my eyes, I consider myself a burden on society. And I don't want to be a burden on society. I want to be a success. And so it's a very tricky process to go out there and do that without the proper people in place to devise the plan.
That's good. So what would your next phase look like if we were to ask you that today so the audience would know what it looks like now?
Okay. What I need now are politicians. Again, this is another area. What we need together for my website is public speakers, attorneys, and politicians. And that would help fine-tune what we can do to make it easier. So we have public speakers to deal with the issue of employment. We have attorneys to deal with legal issues. You know, many people with disabilities don't have money. They don't have the money for legal help. So they just live the life because they were taken advantage of, and they're stuck. They're stuck at a standstill until they get the help. And the politicians to help change the laws so that the disabled can work on, for example, a 9-month child work period. Okay. If we can get these people in place, then we're able to make the structure much easier to address to the community.
Awesome. Okay, so how can, if there's somebody listening in the audience, how can they get in touch with you? How can the politicians, the officials, anybody get in touch with you?
Okay, they can get in touch with me at my website, zylomarshall.com. It's ZYLOMARSHALL.com. You can go over there, and of course, my website needs a little more fine tuning. But you can look at that, and you can contact me there. You can go to my Facebook page, Zyla Marshall. You can go to my Facebook page, or you can go to my LinkedIn account, and you can look at my information there. You can even call me at my phone number, 916-501-2626, if you are somebody who is wanting to be a part of me right now, then we can see what we can do to make this a success for the nation, basically.
Yeah, that's great. Well, audience, you know that you can, he's given you the website and his phone number to get in touch with Zylo to forge this mission forward of helping those that are disabled, change the dynamics of the workforce for them. And we know that adversity isn't the end of your story. It's the rough draft of your design. The difference between trauma and transformation is whether you study what happened or you just remember it. Zylo, thank you for sharing a story and helping people see that pain can actually become instruction. And for everyone listening, if this conversation made you realize your life has been reacting instead of rebuilding, that's exactly the work I do. You don't need more motivation. You need interpretation, just like Zylo said. Visit my website at ednawhite.com and schedule your first clarity session. Because you can understand the pattern, you can change what comes next, just like our guest. So this is Keeping It Real on Purpose. Real stories, real hurt, real recovery, real strength. Turning life's pain into purpose. And I am your host, Edna White, and my esteemed guest, Zylo Marshall, saying goodbye for now.
Thank you very much.